You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now watching and listening to the New Old Heads podcast. My name is Jay Moore, and I got a few of my friends with me. One of them is missing. That's why I'm doing the intro as opposed to Major Sevens. He's handling some business, so shout out to him. But we got a guest in the building. I don't know if I'd really call him a guest since he holds us down when one of us is not able to make it. But what's going on, brother, to the night?
What's up, man? How you doing? I'm salutations.
Can't be still in my line.
Oh, what? Damn. Michael ain't here.
Yeah. Like,
hello, Michael.
No, I'm doing well. Just celebrated, my birthday weekend. Being the new, officially for real, the oldest of the new old heads. So yeah. I'm not, I'm 47. Yeah, I look good.
Praise God.
Exactly. So, you know, to everyone who reached out, text, phone call, social media and said happy birthday, or people I saw in person, thank you. And I'm glad to see another year.
Yeah.
Let's see. And right next to Brother to the Night is DJ J. Diff. How you doing, sir?
Salutations.
See, that's how you do it.
My bad.
It's all good.
Everything good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. You know, just
tired.
A little loose, a little tired, you know, but.
That's what happens when you work hard.
Yeah. We're here every Tuesday on the dot, or, you know what I'm saying, on time, so to speak.
Yeah. My bad.
It's all good.
No, you here filling in, so we're just glad that you.
Appreciate it.
You know, you weren't that late.
I got busy, man. Trying to get my hands loose, man. So I've been practicing like scratching or whatever.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Time got away from me.
That's what happens. Yeah. That's what happens. Just glad that you were able to come and bless us with your presence. But for right sure. Next to me is my man Longevity. How are you doing, sir?
Doing okay. Thanks for asking.
Well, see, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. We're improvising and, socializing.
Another day.
Yes, indeed. I sometimes say another day, another dollar, but sometimes it don't work out like that because it seems like even if you make that dollar, it's gone so quick.
Man, somebody coming to take it.
Let me tell you something. It's like $70 just to walk outside.
Yeah, it costs $100 to walk outside, man.
Real fun.
$100 flat.
You know, because I'm thinking, wow, okay, I ran to the grocery store just to pick up a few things. Yeah. Not even do big grocery shopping.
$50.
And then I was like, ooh, got to put a little gas in the car.
$40.
You know, and I was like, I should have just stayed at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this don't make no sense. But, you know, it's such is life. Such is life.
Where's the beef? That's continued.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's been another exciting weekend or week of beef. We've got Quavo versus Chris Brown.
Yeah.
They've released a couple tracks. And then Kanye West has decided to enter the fold for whatever reason.
And I guess the Drake AI.
Drake decided to bring Tupac and Snoop into the fray.
And it was brought to my attention. I'm not 100% certain if this is the case or not, but I thought Taylor Swift released a diss song.
Yeah, she's to Kim, I guess, Kardashian. She's dissing Kim and Kanye, I think, too.
That's so off my radar. Yeah.
So what I heard about that was that she politely just said, like, it wasn't really a diss. It was more so just kind of like addressing Kim Kardashian and say, we can be bigger than this or something. I don't know.
And she also said something about her being upset that her kids are listening to this particular song, not knowing that it's about her.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yes, Taylor Swift has kids?
No.
No.
Kim's kids. Okay.
Yeah, so a whole lot of beef in these streets. You got pop beef. You got rap beef. You got R&B beef. Yeah, it's messy out here.
Yeah, man.
Okay, let's just get to
Kim
this
one. Kardashian loses 100,000 followers after Taylor Swift diss.
Oh, okay.
Kim Kardashian has, quote, moved on from Taylor Swift feud. Doesn't care. Okay, well.
She sounds like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Okay, because, I got a call first thing on Saturday morning about literally shout DJ Lockstar. He's like, have you heard it? And I was like, heard what? And it was about the AI situation.
Yeah.
Now, I've kind of already tipped my hand and let people know I thought it was remarkably corny. But Brother to the Night, what say you?
I agree. It's creative.
It's funny.
Yeah. But
kinda.
But at the same time, like, I don't think he has anything else to really say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
his whole diss was just, I think I even made a post about it. The only thing he said was like, you haven't responded. And like something else is like, that's all that
where
this
are you
is.
Hiding?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right.
Imagine that. So what's mad weird about that is now he has to hurry up and respond.
Yeah.
A day after you finally acknowledge that this was your diss song and put it out with the little shoe size label and whatever in reference to the Big Steppers. I think it was kind of clever that he used the AI, Tupac and Snoop Dogg verse, but it wasn't anything that stings, though.
Yeah.
It didn't have any weight to it as far as this is about to make me jump out of the window and say something to you.
It was cute, man. That's all it was. Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah.
But you got people in a tizzy.
No, for sure.
Yeah, people are in a tizzy saying he's up 1,000 now because dropped 2 songs. Well, and
you got to say, you got to think about it, man. There's stands on both sides. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
There are people that just automatically going to side with Drake because he's Drake. He happens to be the bigger artist or the person with the most money. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, that's really his only play is the big money talk. And that's what was happening on the first disc.
You know
what I mean? So,
I don't know. To me, like, and maybe I'm biased in this because I'm not a stan of either, but I prefer Kendrick's music. Mm-hmm. But I don't consider myself a Kendrick stan. Mm-hmm. But to me, this isn't even close. Like, if Drake legitimately dropped diss tracks that were like actually great in that manner, I'd be like, oh, Drake got him. Mm-hmm. Drake has pop fans and people that don't listen to hip hop music. And I know Kendrick does too, but more hip hop fans, I think, that are like underground heads, if you want to call them that, would listen to Kendrick more than Drake.
Yeah.
So
you would think.
And so with that, you would also think that most of the people that are like defending Kendrick in this aren't really defending Kendrick from a Kendrick point of view. They're defending Kendrick from a hip hop point of view. That's what I would guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with you on that too. But I think the problem is, for some reason, a lot of the people that are standing or on Drake's side seem to think that everybody likes Kendrick because this woke, super backpack individual that doesn't like anything but conscious music, which is far from the truth.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not anything wrong with it. But what
I know
the problem is you're pretty much showing your hand at this point, because just because somebody likes Kendrick doesn't mean that they're all the way into backpack and conscious music. It's almost like they're upset that you like things that kind of stimulate your point of view or thought process, so to speak, because music is meant to be fun and it's also meant to be thought provoking, I think, in the same token. So I can like both sides of it.
Yeah.
But I can also point out the right and wrong and why this isn't better than that. Because again, said this last week, Kendrick's is still number one. Mm-hmm. It's still being played every single day.
On the radio,
in the
club, in the cars.
And it's still the most memorable verse out of all of these beef tracks.
What was the graphic that I saw? And it could be bull, but I saw a graphic that said like, it was like Drake at the top and then all Taylor Swift below that. Is that just a fake graphic? Did you guys see that too?
It's got to be fake.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, because Taylor Swift, nobody's below Taylor Swift.
And that's like a double album. Yeah. So she might have the top 15, 20 songs coming out.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. So,
has her album even dropped yet? I don't even know.
It came out on Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Oh,
okay.
That's why Drake was trying to say that Kendrick is scared doesn't want to drop because Taylor dropped. So
that's stupid.
He's respecting Taylor because he's a pop star and he doesn't want to drop the same time as her because she's pretty much his new top dog, so to speak.
But he did the same thing, which he acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, that's still corny,
though. But that's the thing.
Saying
like,
I gotta holler at
you. You worried about
holler at her to drop something.
You worried about you. I don't think anybody. If this is a battle and you worried about chart positions, then that's how you know this is some manufactured foolishness. Yeah.
This just goes to show how deep in the pop game you are if you're worried about when she's dropping. And you're even mentioning it, saying that the only person that can come outside before I do is her. Because if you're really on this hip hop, you don't care about who drops on that day. I mean, you had battles, the Kanye and 50 Cent. You know what I'm saying? Let's see who said the most albums battle. That was all hip hop. That had nothing to do with pop. I mean, it was a pop situation as far as popularity is concerned.
50 got smoked in that, too.
He did, but he still did very well. Because this is back in the time where we were selling albums.
Yeah, yeah,
to buy albums. Yeah, you were buying. But, you know, this is what's crazy. Like, you know, of course, Taylor Swift is going to stream like crazy. But they're selling her record at Costco. And this is either genius and capitalism all at the same time. Maybe you understand your audience and how much money they have. Like, she's got four exclusive. She's got four different versions of the album as far as the cover. And each one has a different exclusive track on it. So, you know, there are some Swifties out there that are going to go out and buy all four.
I'm not mad at that. To me, that's just smart.
Yeah, if you know you got the fan base that's got the money to do it, God bless Taylor Swift. She's figured out the game.
Now, that is. And you know, and even to the point about even if Kendrick does have, let's say, a project or something that he's going to do, I'm not going to say a diss track. It's normal to want to not drop your album on the same date as a major artist release. That is normal.
Yeah.
And chart positions get moved all the time because of things like this.
It's like Taylor Swift is so major in so many ways, bigger than probably, I don't know if she's bigger than Drake.
She is.
She is.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah.
She's probably the biggest star out.
Her fans buy her music.
That's fair. That's a good point. But
the kids.
Yeah.
But she's definitely bigger than Kendrick, I would say.
Yeah, but I don't think that they really have the same fans, though.
No, I don't. So
it doesn't really matter.
Well, once you get into the pop realm, I think that's where it kind of overlaps a little bit. Yeah. So if I was Kendrick, I knew that Taylor Swift was going to drop an album on the Friday and I was dropping an album, I would probably wait till the next Friday just because I'm not an idiot. Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm coming outside.
I'm not.
Because I know whatever I drop is not going to resonate with Taylor Swift fans anyway.
It might have a little bit. Honestly, it's probably all manufactured nonsense anyways, because to your point.
Because of streaming numbers.
Realistically, there's probably very little overlap in the two. And this has been a thing for a very long time, and it goes all the way back to the days of when people were actually buying physical merchandise, and people don't really do that anymore. So it's like, it's not like you have somebody walking up to the record store being like, well, I got $25. I can buy one album. I'm going to choose Taylor Swift this week. That's not what it is. It's like, well, how much time do I have to spend on Taylor's? And then I can go listen to Kendrick's. Like, it's different.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, if you're in a heated battle, why does any of that matter? If we actually talking about skill,
right?
You know what I mean?
It shouldn't.
And it's supposed to be your music against mine, the verses that you've been putting up talking about me against mine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, Nas and Jay-Z weren't talking about Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys during their time of going at each other. So that's whack, man. It just goes to show way more.
They were talking about moving units, though. Well, Jay was.
I mean, they were talking about moving units, but he also referenced all hip-hop artists.
I mean, ultimately, what we are looking at right now is kind of Jay-Z versus Nas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Drake being Jay-Z and Kendrick being Nas.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who wants to smack the koofy off of Kendrick?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be Drake.
You know, and with all this.
And I ain't even saying this stuff because I don't really dislike Drake.
Yeah.
It's one of them things where.
You're going against my guy.
Yeah, you're going against my guy. And you remind me of the dude that wanted to be cool in high school and wanted to be hood and you weren't. And they started accepting you and you took it too far.
Yeah.
And now you are stuck outside and you got to keep paying all these people that are protecting you and still act like you tough, because that's what's going on, man. He talks about how Kendrick has to pay all of these people in his splits. But what about the money that you have to pay Jay Prince to protect you every time something happens? Mm. Because that's not in any contract. This just, you get on the phone with him, he will send me $1,000,000, $2. I can make that go away.
Yeah.
Streets,
you know, so
yeah,
he should probably pump his brakes on that talk.
And did y'all know anybody like that who tried to move into more? And you were like, I know your daddy has a good job, and you know, y'all are in Jack and Jill, like, you are not street, sir.
Quite a few,
yeah, man, yeah, a whole lot. A lot of them ended up trying to stick their foot in the street water and drowned, unfortunately.
Mm.
So it can get real out there, but I mean, Drake is protected, so. Of course, that's not going to happen to him, but he's still paying for that protection. That's and right. Then he had the nerve to use Tupac's voice You know what I'm saying?
If you're going to use Tupac's voice, at least throw in a Hennessy and Enemies rhyme in there.
I would have liked it. It would have been better if he would have used their cadence.
Yeah.
You know
it
what
was
I mean?
Drake rapping.
Yeah, because it was, I heard Drake rapping in Tupac's voice. Yeah. So if you're going to go out, if you're going to do it, do it.
At least tell us to remember Kato or something.
Hey, man.
I think it would have hit a little harder for me if it was like just purely all comedic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was like truly just kind of, it was just a joke. Mm-hmm. But then when he came in at the end, I was like, eh, okay, you're just kind of saying.
Yeah.
He kind of lost me at the very end. So.
Yeah, man.
So Naughty Pie has an interesting thing. He says, hear me out on why I think it's a smart move by Drake. He's basically mocking Kendrick's approach to storytelling by switching voices and giving a verse from each perspective. It's more of a troll than a diss.
Mm. Mm. I can see
kinda.
That. I can see that.
Close but no cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kendrick's, he's going to, if he was going to tell a story, it's going to be way better than that.
part five was a lot better than that. If that's the interpretation that you're going with, Cal, he switched his face up in the video and he was kind of rapping like he was, what's his name, Nipsey.
Yeah.
He was rapping like he was OJ. He was rapping like he was Juicy Smollett.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Justice for Juicy.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Even if he was trolling, it was all right attempt at trolling, I think.
Yeah.
It was clever, but it's not putting him up 1,000 points by anything. No.
I agree. I agree with you.
I know we talked a little bit about physical media. You know, shout out to anybody who enjoyed Record Store Day. I missed out on it this year because they had
Murder Was a Case in there too.
What?
Yes. Murder Was a Case on vinyl. I actually might need to go up to Indy City and vinyl and see if they still have any copies.
There were people lined up on Friday night.
Yeah.
So shout out to all the record stores that participated in Record Store Day, specifically Indy City and vinyl. That's where I saw a line.
Yeah.
You know, the night before to get in there to get some of those exclusives. And like, shout out to Andy. Like this is a dude who has real integrity. I think I wanted him to hold something for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we know each other outside of, you know, any of the sponsorship situation. He's like, no, you got to come in and get it.
Yeah.
And it was a couple of years ago, but I still wound up getting it. It was the Big Mac Bad Boy thing but they put it out on vinyl and gave you the tape. I still haven't wrapped up. I just had to get it off the streets.
That's dope.
Yeah. But honestly, I think that might be the last physical media that I bought. Like, cause I don't buy video games anymore and I certainly don't buy CDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you guys even remember the last time outside of buying an album, you know, because vinyl is really the only that's the only real wave as far as buying physical media. When was the last time anybody bought a CD?
This is gone. So my last CD was Damn when Damn came out.
Yeah, I think that might have been it for me, too.
Yeah. No, I take that back. I actually bought Fonte's last album and that came out after Damn. Okay. So I bought an autographed copy of it.
Oh, OK. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
You said outside of vinyl?
Yeah, because vinyl, like, honestly, that's what I'll still buy vinyl if I see there's a limited edition piece. Like, I bought the Killer Mike because, you know, I can't listen to it enough times for it to register as an actual sale. You know, I don't have that kind of time. So because I respect the art and the artist, I went ahead and bought his album.
Yeah, I bought Janelle Monáe's album.
Okay.
The vinyl because, you know,
the last one. With okay. For various reasons.
You on demon time with your purchases.
But
I mean, I just buy vinyl anymore and music for collection purposes.
For collection.
Like, I don't have, I have a turntable in the other room, obviously, but it's not even, I think it's in the box. You know what I mean?
So. The last like CD I bought might have been like a limited like Larry June CD.
Okay.
Yeah, it was something special.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, I don't even remember the last CD I bought. Don't even remember. Couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, but the days of going to the store and just picking up a CD. And
it's not the same. If music came out on Tuesday instead of Friday, maybe I would be more inclined to go.
I really wish they would get back to that, not only because it gives you time to sit with it, but like, and you can speak to this a little bit, from the DJ's perspective, you're trying to get some music, and even if people have heard it, it hasn't sat with anybody and attached itself. You almost have to wait to that next weekend for people to care.
Even then, though, it still might not hit just because, you know, I mean, I say this because I live in Indianapolis, but there is a huge social media push for some of them Beyonce records. And this is what, two Beyonce records, Riverdance and Two Hands to Heaven. And I play both of those records this weekend, and it cleared the dance floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we. So, ain't, I mean, it probably depends on the setting and situation.
Yeah, I was like, maybe it was the place I was at, but I don't know, man. I mean, but, I thought everybody loved Beyonce.
I don't know. Man, Beyonce has her songs that are hit and miss, because you can play a Beyonce song and everybody's hype, and then you can play a Beyonce song and it does nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, you have the Beyonce, the Beehive. They're going to jump out whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you when you write on the Tuesdays, because Tuesdays gives you time to let it breathe. Mm-hmm. And if you want to add something to your crate, by Friday, you ready.
Yeah.
If I got to listen to it on Friday, then now I'm scrambling to put the new thing in my playlist in order for me to play it out. So,
and plus,
yeah, I can kind of dig that.
You don't listen to, unless you sit, if you like one of those people that can sit up and wait until midnight.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Job.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's like, okay, I haven't even had a chance to sit with it. And then maybe I try to listen to it in the morning before work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's still not enough time. So I really wish as an industry, we would get back to releasing records, because on Friday, I don't know why that change was made, but I never thought that would fly.
Nah.
Yeah.
I think every Tuesday was a holiday, essentially, especially if you had a lineup of dope stuff coming out.
Yeah.
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 Choices were made.
We really don't run into those issues anymore either, where people actually drop. At like, case in point, the whole conversation we have now, people are hiding from certain release dates, man. I remember there was one.
Oh, yeah. People was pushing stuff back.
Yeah. I remember there was one weekend, man. I spent my whole just winging it check. just winging it check on nothing but CDs.
Yeah.
Or it was the, it was tapes, because I could buy more tapes than CDs.
Right, right.
So, I think it was the week, I think Aquemini came out.
Music Soul Child came out that same
week. Yeah. What else?
Wasn't that when Hard Knock Life, Aquemini, Lauryn Hill?
Hard Knock Life would have came out in the summer.
I think it was
summer.
X that came out.
Okay. There was
a Flesh, Blood, and My Blood.
No, that's another Tuesday I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that is. No, that you think about 98.
Yeah. 98. That was the year that
Aquemini
came
out. Yeah.
So I think that came out.
So that's not the same year that Music Soul Child. I'm thinking of Stank On You.
Okay.
So to your point, on September 29th, 1998, Aquemini, Jay-Z's Volume 2, Hard Knock Life.
Okay.
Black Star.
Uh-huh.
Tribe Called Quest, The Love Movement.
That's it.
And Brand Nubian's Foundation. All on the same day. There's a whole lot going on
there. Didn't Lauryn Hill come out that day?
Doesn't say it.
It might have been that next week or something. I remember in that window, it was something very close.
Mm. That brings up a very interesting question that we're kind of talking about. Maybe this can be a subject. We've been talking about with the rap beefs, and we've been talking about it with, just as we're talking right now, right? Mm-hmm. About release dates and back in the day, you know, I remember for me specifically, if two albums came out on the same day, I would just get both of them if I liked them both. Unless I just didn't have any money and I had to choose between one or two, which I had to a couple times, but then I would just get it the next week or then a couple weeks after that.
If you was getting them at Best Buy, they were on sale on that Tuesday, so you almost had.
That's why it was crucial to get in that first week.
But do you guys think that release dates are being pushed on us like they matter in that aspect? You know, with the Drake and Kendrick beef and the Taylor Swift stuff. Do you think they matter in the same sense of like, or is it just like a marketing ploy to get us to hype some stuff up to some degree?
I don't think it matters at all anymore, because everybody's only paying one price to listen to everything. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to listen to both records. If they were to drop on the same day, you're going to listen to both albums. You're probably going to stop everything you're doing to go listen to them. I remember I was out in Las Vegas when Damn dropped, and I stopped everything I was doing to go listen to that project.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's anything to be said about the attention span argument, to where if too many things drop on the same day, let's say a super fan, Kendrick, would go and listen to Damn on repeat, but maybe they wouldn't go listen to that new Brand Nubian album, even if they were fans of Brand Nubian or Odyssey or whatever. You know what I mean?
So when you talk about a monster versus somebody in the underground, maybe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because if at the end of the day, I'm probably going to listen to the one I least likely want to listen to first, and I'm probably going to skim that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to listen to the one I really want to listen to.
So you're
and then I'm probably going to run it back again, you know? So
you're a person that eats the food that you don't like first off the plate?
Yep.
Mm.
I am too.
At least taste it.
Yeah.
I get it off my plate so I can enjoy the stuff that I want to enjoy.
Yeah.
I just remember when there was another one of those days, I think it was Stankonia and the Dynasty album. came out the same day. Remember, of course, I bought them both. Luckily,
absolutely.
I had it like that. Outkast and Jay-Z on the same day. And it was like Jay-Z edged them by like maybe 3,000 or 4,000. It was a small amount, but Stankonia went on to be a much bigger record.
Definitely.
But it
I
was
mean,
like,
they were shipping platinum back then.
Yeah. You know, it might have been the difference in how many they shipped to the stores, mm-hmm. you know, and who got the number one spot. But I just remember, okay, I listened to the Jay-Z first, but then like what I listened to more often was the Outkast.
Right, because you liked it more.
You know, and so now if that would have happened today, I probably, you know, now mind you, I was doing a lot of driving back and forth between Carbondale and St. Louis, so I had a lot of time to listen to music. You know, there wasn't no such thing as podcast then. It was music or nothing. But say it was today, you know, I don't know if maybe I would, you know, I would have maybe fast forwarded through some songs. Not even fast forward. I just skipped songs that maybe didn't grab me in the first 30 seconds, maybe in a minute. I wouldn't have given. Now I don't give songs the really amount of time that I did before.
Not at all.
And plus, like back then, I would listen to. I just put on an album, press play. Mm-hmm. You know, if something started to annoy me, I wouldn't just be like next because like I paid for this, so I better find a way to enjoy it. But it's not like that now. Just like when I tried to listen to the Game's whole last album, mm-hmm. there were just songs I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
The one where he was on Kanye's nuts, talking about he did more to him than more than Dre.
And then like the Eminem song where he was trying to like kick up a little dust and you know and get people talking.
Yeah, that's I like to call that blogger brain, because I remember when I started blogging music and Terry and I were blogging a lot of stuff with Bringing Down the Band, it was like, you know, you start blogging because you enjoy music so much and you want to share it to so many people, right? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes something that you do every day. And back in our heyday, we were sharing like 10 to 12 posts a day. Mm. And I was getting, I've said this many times, I was getting like 100 emails a day. You have no other choice than to like just sift through all of the music, and you kind of just inherently pick the part, you know, it's just like, yeah, I like this. Oh, no, this part sucks, so I'm skipping, you know, it's like almost everybody's doing that now. Mm-hmm. But back then it was like, it was really hard to explain what it's like to listen to music to some people, because it's just like, man, like I don't even do it intentionally. It's just, it's a high standard for me to literally let something sit and play. And so to this conversation that we're having, it wouldn't personally bother me if multiple things came out on the same day, because I could very easily sift through the stuff that I don't like and be like, well, I like 7 songs on this 40 that dropped, you know.
I kind of miss the blog era as opposed to what the playlist era that we're in today, man. You know what I mean?
Just what's the main difference to you?
The main difference is I think I trusted some of the people a little bit more than I did.
The playlisting.
Yeah.
It just seems so random.
These gatekeepers, if you will.
Yeah, it just seems a whole lot more corporate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it used to be like, I knew if I heard it, if I saw it on this website, it's a chance that it's probably dope. Right. Now, not everything.
For sure.
But most times that I hear some stuff over there, like Two Dope Boys used to be my spot.
Early Two Dope Boys.
Yeah.
Before they switched the model to just share like everything.
Yeah.
They, Shasta Shake and Mecca, they didn't miss. Like they were like all the stuff that they shared way, way back in the day. And then they kind of switched their model up to sharing a little bit more of a broader approach of everything. Mm-hmm. And then you had to start sifting. Mm-hmm. But
Smoking Section was tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not Right had some stuff.
Not Right, yeah.
Okay Player.
Okay Player used to have heat.
Yeah.
Okay Player, honestly, doesn't get his props for almost being, you know, if they'd have kept expanding that model, that was honestly the beginning of what I would consider to be my social media journey, even though it wasn't called social media at that time.
No, the message boards.
You know, because I would... That's when I would, you know, somebody talking about little brother. You know, it predates social media and the blog era. Yep. And, you know, so if you knew how to navigate through OK Player, you might really get put on to some stuff. And, you know, the only thing is, I think it also encouraged a lot of bootlegging, because say you heard something really dope.
Yeah.
And what would be the first thing people would be like? Link?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Pirate Bay.
Yeah, so it predated a lot of that stuff. I remember, you know, really like going into general discussion in the lesson. The lesson is where you'd get up on music, and then they had a high tech section, but the lesson was my joint, because you might actually hear Questlove recommend something.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess I wonder, like, if there's, now when we stream and we consume albums, we can get through albums pretty fast and make our own decisions.
Mm. They're also not as long either.
That's true as well. But back then you had to make a financial investment. You know, like you're investing into something and you're like, all right, cool. I'm going to, you know, I think that's where the whole thing sit with an album came from, because you had to sit with an album. Mm. Now you don't really have to sit with an album. And I'm not saying that it's good or not. I think you probably should sit with albums, but
you were more invested in it because, like you said, you spent money on it.
Yeah. So that goes into the, like, again, so fast forward to now, or even the blog era, you know, it's like you said, Byron, you know, you had voices that you could trust, you know, those people out there that you knew that they were curating, you knew what they were doing, you knew that they already did that work for you. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of that already created. I wonder if there's a space for it, and maybe you guys know of some people out there like that now, but I don't. That, I mean, don't get me wrong, Two Dope Boys is still around, OK Player is still around, but there aren't really very many voices of people that are curating stuff in that same manner as there used to be. I wonder if there is space for something, you know, like that.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think there is, but it's not a website anymore. It's what we doing.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? So if you have a podcast to where you just use your podcast to introduce new artists,
it would be great.
You've got to grab some type of rapport with the people before they start trusting you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love for this show to be similar to that, to where we could spend 30 minutes an episode just listening to new music that we didn't know about and like reacting to it. If there was a pay model set up to where we wouldn't get demonetized automatically for it. Like if there is a split share model out there where we could do some stuff and we aren't going to automatically get blocked or something down the line, that would be awesome. But I feel like the infrastructure is just not built for that. And so it's
for us, because like that's pretty much what Cassinet does. He sits there and listens to an album and reacts silly to it.
But he gets the Twitch.
And he gets paid. He gets Nike deals. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he has some, you know, the same
way. He doesn't even have like great taste in music or anything. No. He's just a guy that has a fan base.
He's a personality.
You know, but it's just, I mean, there are ways probably to do it, but I don't know if because, you know, just like Joe Budden, they can do the sleeper section and they can play music on the show. There has to be a license and the relationships to do it. And it probably costs, you know, a decent amount of money, just like
probably built in with his deal.
Yeah. But I mean, just like with, you know, especially when he was with Spotify. So it was like, all right, let's do this. Same thing with, you know, when everybody became a bedroom Twitch internet DJ, you know, during the pandemic.
Panty down.
You know, the only person that really had the license to do that was D-Nice. You know, he was the only one who could go longer than an hour and never get,
Jazzy Jeff.
But, you know, if you were, I'll just say, when it was me and DJ Metronome, I remember one time we got into a little rock set and played Pat Benatar, and both our phones shut off.
Wow.
And I was like, because we tried to stay away from certain artists, you know, and I'm still getting, because when I would post some of what we were doing on Facebook, I'm still getting copyright.
I'm getting those
situations
too, from a long time ago.
And I'm like, this was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was like, yeah, we had to silence out this part, whether it was I was doing it with Metronome or Lockstar and rest in peace DJ Indiana Jones. I'm still getting those notices. And I'm like, and what's crazy is this, how on top of it, you know, the powers that be are, like, they tell you when the copyrighted section starts, when it ends, exactly what song you played. I was like, man, if y'all paid this much attention and took this much into actually paying the artist, like, people wouldn't have so much to complain about.
It's all automatic. None of that stuff is like people sitting at a computer or screen being like, "Yep, shorten it." It's all AI. And it's really good. It's really good. It's really good. But you know, capitalism. So.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
You know, and people getting their flowers news. It was recently revealed that A Tribe Called Quest will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Props to them. I'm excited for this. I think it's deserved. Yeah, I know there are people who are always going to take, you know, a certain level of umbrage with hip hop acts getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'll speak on it a little bit later as far as what I feel about that. But, you know, what do you think about Tribe getting that nod and getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I love it. You know what I mean? And quiet is kept. I think they belong into like the Jazz Hall of Fame too, because that was my introduction to jazz music for the most part.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Was coming through Tribe. So yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's all I can really say about it. There's no hate there. There's nothing I can do to refute it. Even though, you know, I have that same sentiment that you have about, you know, wanting. I would love for us to have a hip hop Hall of Fame as opposed to.
We do have one. It doesn't get the same level of credibility.
Is that the one at KRS?
Yeah.
Museum.
Yeah. So
there's not enough money behind it.
I don't, you know, there's not a whole television show built around it. And, you know, there's not a whole museum in the same way that the one in Cleveland is. But at the same time, the fact that they made it, I'm very happy.
I might drive over to Cleveland for that.
You know, it's a big deal. I think. Because, you know, we always talk about the difference between commercial and underground hip hop. And even though Tribe Called Quest, to a certain extent, is made it to the mainstream and getting number one albums, you know, these were the guys that really were the underdogs at one point. You know, even though they were on a major label, it was still hip hop. And this was when hip hop was not mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still people fighting against even having a group like a Tribe Called Quest on the radio in 1989, 1990. So, you know, before I go too deep into that, you know, longevity, what I know you said you only know a little bit about it, but what do you think about Tribe Called Quest getting a nod and being into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't care. Okay. But I will say this, but it's because I don't care about the establishment in reference to hip hop. It's not that I don't. It's like, oh, man, screw Tribe Called. No, they're legends, right? No, I think it's dope. I think it's dope just because of what it has turned into. It's more than just rock and roll music at this point, and it has been. And so I think it's cool that they're getting that nod. But I don't put a lot of credence into it in the same way I don't put a lot of credence into the Grammys. You know, it's just, to me, it's just an award show. I don't really care about that aspect of it. But yeah, for them, personally and specifically, you know, hey, good for them. You know, shouts to Jerobi, he's one of my friends on Facebook. So
nice. JDiff, what say you?
I just think it's one of those situations that is dope as far as paying homage, because Tribe is instrumental in the development of groups like Outkast.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Instrumental in the career of Dilla.
Mm-hmm.
Very you much know, so. Kind of responsible for Leaders of the New School.
Not
brought
kinda.
Us Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
You know, so which was one of the dopest features ever when it came out.
I agree.
You know, so I think it's a solid nod to a lifetime achievement.
Yep.
That being from a Tribe Called Quest, because I mean, like you said, the vibes of jazz and things of that nature were using it. Granted, Guru and DJ Premier used jazz elements as well, but
all came around the same time.
Yeah, the way that Tribe used them and the way that they chopped it and
it was, you know, saying,
presented it to you, and then Q-Tip's voice. Nobody has a voice like Q-Tip.
No,
it's not like it's boisterous and in your face, but it's a very recognizable. Even his solo joints was dope to me. So yeah, definitely shout out to Tribe Called Quest.
You know, sure. I completely understand why, you know, I almost think it shouldn't be called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It should be called the Modern Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, because it should be everything that from rock music going forward. And maybe not even in the past, because, you know, there are blues musicians and jazz musicians who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that music predates, you know, rock and roll, when Alan Freed dubbed it rock and roll. So, you know, I mean, there are people who, you know, like, what's his name from Kiss? I know he always takes a certain level of criticism every year, because he says, hey, why are these guys into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Gene Simmons. But shout out, you know, I mean, I understand what he's saying, because it's not rock and roll. But honestly, you know, Dolly Parton isn't rock and roll either, and she's going in. Mm-hmm. Mary J. Blige isn't rock and roll, and she's going in. The Temptations were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before they even had a building in Cleveland. So, you know, I understand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is what we know it as, but if you look at who's been inducted even before, and who was inducted at the ceremonies even before, you know, there was a building to put the awards and memorialize people in, you know, they were inducting more than just rock and roll artists.
Right.
So I think that is a tired argument for those of rock and roll artists who thinks, why are a Tribe Called Quest or NWA or Public Enemy putting next to Led Zeppelin or Kiss? You know, get over it at this point. So I'm happy for a Tribe Called Quest.
We don't want them in this lily white.
You know, But at the
none
same
of that jungle music in this.
But at the same time, I think if we're going to do that, if we're talking about impact, if we're talking about quality, then we need to start talking about, you know, there are conversations need to be had about Gangstar going in. Yeah. I'm not sure if De La Soul is up or being considered, but they need to be considered.
And this is the part where I start to lose interest, because it's like, all right, cool. I just feel like it's putting too much onus or too, putting too importance, much importance on this. It. Like, oh, well, now we need to do this. We need, oh my God. It's
no,
like,
no.
And I mean, no, and I respect what you're saying, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, in general, it's like, we really just kind of need our own thing. Or we just,
we
or
do.
The, or,
I mean,
or
we
they
have
just
it.
Need to
we
call
just,
it.
We need to show to more
change,
love to it.
Or change the name of it, like you said. I don't know.
But. I don't think they'll ever change the name of that establishment, though, because, again, like you brought up Gene from Kiss. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that that are not going for it, including whoever owns it.
Yeah, just
because at the end of the day, they may be allowing other people to go in or the other genres because it brings more people to their establishment, which means more revenue for them.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they probably figured that out a long time ago and was like, well, we'll just start inducting all genres of music, only those that are at the top of the game, and still leave it. We'll still call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to get all these people that come visit, which in turn pass
makes
our
us
pockets.
More money.
Yeah.
But once again, shout out to A Tribe Called Quest.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Cleveland. And I have a strong case that y'all need to hurry up and get New Edition in there as well.
Yeah.
I expect that from you.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. They got NWA in there. Come on. As far as put the CDs on the table, New Edition needs to be in there.
Weird Al needs to be in there.
Weird Al?
Yep.
Nah.
Look at his catalog, man.
I'm fat.
Oh.
Amish Paradise.
Oh, Rio. Yeah. Yep.
I was on Jeopardy.
Another the one rides the bus. Stuff. You know what's messed up? The fact that we know so many Weird Al sounds.
Hey, what am I, you know.
Hey, man, we came from a time and place where
Dare to kinda, be stupid. You know, he had a choice.
Had to listen to a little bit of everything.
So this clip is from Tune the Fork podcast. And so let's see what he's talking about, and then we're going to talk about it.
I told my godson when he started making music, know your why early. Mm-hmm. Be clear on what that is, and then allow your subsequent decision-making to reflect that, and the money will come. The minute you adjust that for money is the minute you lose. Mm-hmm. I don't give a f- if it's 5 minutes after you figure out your why. I don't care how much money they pay you mm-hmm. for. If you gotta adjust that why to conform to get some money, it's the minute you lose. What are you making the music for? What you do subsequent to answering that question will reflect the answer. And some of us don't want to be honest about that. So, but your work doesn't lie. Like the decisions that you make subsequent to answering the questions don't lie. If I get on here and say, I really just want to have connections. I don't care how many people watch. And then 6 months later, I'm complaining that don't nobody watch it. Then, fucker, I just lied about my why.
Lied to yourself. Mm-hmm.
I lied to myself. Because I honestly do care. What I've learned in this process is I said I didn't care in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start doing it and you don't get the reaction that you anticipated, your why starts cracking, and you really what you think the why is, sometimes you won't know until you start doing it. And it was getting tested. My why was getting tested, but I had to keep moving in spite of that.
Yep.
Because it will figure itself out. And I thought about doing a little slight shit. Like, give me an example. My why for this would be like, oh, well, what if I start talking about current affairs? Because nobody's watching. So so now I'm thinking about how I can adjust to get more people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
When in my mind, I'm like, I'm jeopardizing the integrity of my why by even having this f***ing conversation.
Yep.
Just keep doing what you're doing, James.
Yep.
However slow it may appear, it's moving you towards what it is that you say you want.
I'm gonna pause it there.
What was the question that was posed?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a question that was posed necessarily. I guess, let me look.
More so, what do we think about that?
Well, let me see. So, money versus purpose. And Mike has as a creative, but I'm tired of the word creative. So, you know, what is more important and why as, I guess, from...
As a musician? Because, I mean,
musician,
he's speaking as a musician.
I guess we could speak it just from in general.
From the arts?
The arts in general, yeah. So...
Well, I'll make it very personal about this particular podcast,
mm-hmm.
New Old Heads. And I've said this before, one of the things that I think makes us great is that we don't shake ass. Right. We actually talk about things we think are relevant, and we're not here to make friends either.
Yep.
You know, we'll say things.
Shouts to Caitlin Clark.
You know, we say things that might, that, you know, when we look at the comment sections, like, people are very, you know, they disagree a great deal with some of our takes.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not here. Look, I'll just say it, you know. If we wanted to just get rich, we could have started shaking ass. If we just and we could have been kissing ass to try to get sponsorship with people who we don't have any real interest in. Instead, we decided we're going to put out a product that's great to the people who actually enjoy this kind of content. I think that's a big difference in what a lot of people do. Like you said, what is your why? Our why was to be not provocative for the sake of being provocative, but provocative to be thought provoking. And to spur conversation. I think that's one of the best things about the New Old Heads podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're just not, you know, there's sometimes where, like, if we talked about this, or we talked about certain things, we talked about longer things that don't make the final show. You might hear some wild if you're on Patreon,
for sure.
Or you watch the, you know, but when we're trying to put sure. out the final product that many of you hear on Thursday,
that stuff's cut out.
Exactly. We yeah. cut a lot of that stuff out.
The stuff that, typically speaking, if I make clips of all the stuff that's cut out, that is the stuff that would go viral every week.
Mm-hmm. And there's some people, they get into this for the money. I know somebody, a friend of mine, you know, her and another young lady wanted to start a podcast. And, you know, they did a couple of test episodes, sort of like what you guys did here, before you actually put out episodes for
people. We did eight.
Yeah, to consume. And, you know, she thought it was like, okay, we're going to get a couple episodes in, and then we're going to have Budweiser and Mercedes-Benz hop on. It's like, wow. No, because you thought you were going to get into this, and the money train was going to start mm-hmm. running.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't get into this thinking you were going to do something great and impactful. You know, and so that's the difference, I think. You know, whether you be a DJ, whether you be a producer, whether you be an MC, because the way people get paid is so messed up now and so skewed, and you just... Like, you can get on and do something provocative, and still nobody's going to pay you for it. Mm-hmm. So you better do something that's close to your heart and that actually speaks to who you are as a creative, as opposed to just doing something you think people are going to like. Because there's no guarantee if you do something that you just think people are going to like that you're going to get paid anyway. So you better do something that's close to your heart, because that's one of the only things that's going to motivate you.
Yeah. That's the part.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get tired of doing the thing of the thing that shakes the ass.
Mm-hmm.
If you get tired of that, which you're going to get tired of after a while, what's going to motivate you to keep going?
Nothing. Say you
no, it's not from a place of wanting to do anything.
And say you get
outside of shaking,
you
ass.
Know, you get the reaction that you want, and they decide to throw, you know, put some money in your hand for shaking ass. You're going to have to do that for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And now you're pigeonholed. It's at the end of the day, it's self exploitation.
Yep.
So it's almost like, do you want to sell yourself short by doing that one little thing that's going to get an extra eye on you?
You'll be a hoe forever.
Versus your whole plan. Yeah, who wants to do that, man? It's like, why wouldn't you remain true to yourself and true to, if like you're saying, the podcast, we're moving as a unit. So why wouldn't you remain true to that, you know what I'm saying, the absolute stance that you stood on from the beginning?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It pretty much puts you in a hole, and a lot of people do that. Because we're in a time of clicks and clickbait and trying to go viral. You're trying to go viral and you lose the whole sense of why you're here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense at the end of the day. So.
And there's a balance to it, too. Like, there's a difference between trying things out and, you know, and changing who you are as well. You know, like,
if you change for the better.
For sure. I think we're constantly evolving the things that we're doing. We're constantly evolving how we approach things and getting better at everything. I think that's naturally part of it. But, and I think another piece to what you said, outside of just the shaking ass aspect of it, maybe sometimes going too far left of what you want the show to do. We've had the conversation, sticking to the theme of the podcast of our show. We've had many conversations about doing guests on the show. We tried guests out for a very long time. Brother to the Night was one of the first people that we brought on as a guest. Back when we were doing guests, yeah. You know, actually Jay Moore was the first person we brought on as a guest.
Yeah. But I just wanted to talk about what you guys were talking
about. For sure.
About.
Mm. And, but we've had, you know, like, we had our backstage series for a while where we were doing interviews and stuff, but we, mm-hmm. you know, one thing that I have personally always been adamant about with our show is like, I don't want to break up this, the conversations that we have around the table about a said topic. And I don't want it to turn into a conversation about a particular person at the table. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's supposed to be about the culture that we're a part of, you know, mm-hmm. that's what it's supposed to be about. And then as soon as you start introducing other people involved in that, to the shouts to the video that we just watched, it does pull away from your why a little bit, because then you're like, all right, well, I can utilize this person to bring their viewership, their eyes on what we're doing. It could potentially, we talked about this a couple weeks ago too, like about potentially bringing people, you know, on like, and all this stuff. I think there's ways to do it, but there's, you have to make sure that you're following within the integrity of what you want to, what your purpose is of what you want to accomplish, and your purpose can change. But I think that's a very, very important as well, because it could not even be shaking ass. It could just be like, well, I'm going to pivot now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't pivot, you know, and maybe it depends on the type of pivot that you're doing too. If we start to randomly be like, you know what, our politics segments do really good, let's just talk about the election now.
Yeah, nah.
That we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but yeah.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, and I've made this example before, but you know, I know we gain new viewers and followers all the time. Think about like Jimmy Walker.
Dynamite.
He is still saying dynamite 50 years later because someone says, hey, you need to say the thing if you want to get this check.
Yeah.
And if he's cool with that, then cool. God bless him. But, you know, there's a certain part of, they don't really care about Jimmy Walker. They want to see JJ. And
why Gary Coleman was so mean and surly.
Yeah, because they were still wanting him to be like, what you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't care about him as a person.
Yeah.
Or really anything that he had to say. So, I mean,
well, these people weren't philanthropists or superb actors, so to speak, either. They kind of pretty much put in that position and whored out and made to do that, and then didn't go anywhere else with it.
And they were kids.
They were children. Yeah. At least in Gary Coleman. Yeah. So like that's where like, but you know, I mean, it. But once again, there are a lot of people who are like, man, I wish I had somebody who would pay me to say a catchphrase.
Yeah. You know, there's always somebody willing to be a hoe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all day. There's a site called OF. We just talked about it.
It'd be like if the only, if. Because I performed a wedding, shout to this weekend, shout to Desi Dez, you know, and the and the Saxtons, shout to them. But you know, just imagine if they said, well, we're not going, you can't get nothing from the buffet, we don't have a check for you unless you say, if you don't tip, you're an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, luckily, you know, that's what some people know. Mm-hmm. But I'm still able to work and be able to do my thing without having to yell that every time I go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but because if that was all they were looking for, I'd be like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, there's always work at the post office. Shout out to Robert Townsend.
I had a very small sizing of that, you know what I mean, on my previous podcast, you know what I mean? Like, shout out to the Drunken Knights.
Yes, sir.
I would go out and meet people from the pod from out of town from every once in a while, and they would be like, man, say B word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I'm here, so.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? That was one of the things that they wanted to hear me say and stuff. And I'm like, man, you know, I don't just want to be just out just doing that right now. I don't feel like that right now.
It happens in a way that almost you can't control, because I remember when Dave Chappelle is like, you know, I'm Rick James. I guess I just said it.
Yeah.
You know, you trying to get away from it. He's like, first of all, I'm not Rick James, and I'm at Disney World with my kids right now. Could you leave me alone?
Yeah,
that was an interesting time and place when that was going on. So I can only imagine what he was going through. I mean, at the end of the day, it's pretty much about, and this can be with any facet of life, whatever you're doing, remain true to yourself. Your integrity is the only thing that you have. So if you set a plan in place, you should probably follow it, especially if it's a good plan and you start wondering or worrying about the money, because I think that's what he was alluding to.
So it's about money.
Worrying about getting paid.
Money versus purpose, essentially.
Right. You know? So if the money's not coming fast enough, then you're like, well, I need to redo my plan because the money's not coming right now. But you might have to just keep on grinding or keep hustling and sticking true to the plan that you initially set out, and it's going to happen.
Maybe it won't. And I think this goes down to where I jump a little bit deep into the societal realms of everything, because it's like, if the thing is money versus purpose, I think naturally the way when we think of integrity, we don't really ever think about money. Money is never the conversation when we talk about integrity.
No.
It doesn't mean that money can't exist in the same place as integrity, but it's like when you think about building something that is great for humankind, for people alike, or whatever you're thinking, you're typically, the first thing you think about isn't money. It's like, is this a good idea? Is this something that is beneficial to the people around me, right? But in the society that we are built in, we are wired and framed and with pressures from society to say, well, it has to have both. Mm-hmm. It has to make money and it has to have purpose. And it's counterintuitive to like how we exist as people. There's society. This is why I always talk about capitalism. That's why I always do, is because it's counterintuitive to existing a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the stuff that I have done in the past would never even have spawned or existed if I went into it thinking, man, it's got to make money as well, or I'm not going to do it.
It's because you're wired different.
For sure.
And a lot of us are. And that's the reason why our dichotomy works.
For sure.
But there's a lot of people out here that are ready to do anything in order to get the money.
Yeah.
And you see how many artistic people or creatives, or, you know what I'm saying, anybody that has a plan in place, how everything changes as soon as they get the money.
Yep.
And I mean, there's a lot of artists that we enjoy now who are now filthy rich, and their product isn't the same because of the money. That's they right. essentially got, well, I think about Kanye all the time, because Kanye, I was one of the biggest Kanye fans ever. And it seems like once he tapped into a certain wealth level.
Yeah.
He was not the same. We'll never get that guy back again. He's gone. He's way gone.
Once he graduated.
Because he doesn't have, he doesn't have that same hunger or desire to get where he wants to be.
Because maybe his purpose was money.
It didn't seem like that, though. It seemed like,
but maybe
his purpose was to get out here, or definitely to be seen. But he wanted his music to mean something to people.
Yeah. The guy who made Spaceships is long gone. Once
it meant something to people, it was a wrap from there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The reason I mentioned Drake was because when I was introduced to Drake, it was through Comeback Season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the artist that I heard on Comeback Season and the person that's putting out albums today is night and day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You
know what I mean? If I'm being honest, I mean, there are still remnants of that in his music. It's just a whole lot more childish now, you know, or maybe. I was just in a different space when
that's
I heard Comeback Season.
That's a big part
season.
Of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, but he's never grown, you know what I mean? So I've grown to who I am today. And when I hear the music then, I'm like, man, because I still resonate with some of that music from back then. But when I listen to the new records, I'm like.
Sometimes the connection that an artist has with his audience, like they're growing two different directions.
Yeah.
Like I felt like Kanye was a real reflection of where I was at when he first came out.
Absolutely.
Here's somebody who struggled with, you know, certain things as far as family, as far as wanting to be an artist, as far as wanting to be acknowledged. And now where he is so far away from where I am. And I mean, I
can't relate anymore.
I can't relate to, you know, who you are talking about. Whatever it is you talk about, because I'll be honest, like I said, I didn't listen to Vultures, and like, you know, I kind of checked out, you know, when he was talking about how hard it is to be rich. And you know, at the time I was making payment arrangements to keep my cell phone on. I don't want to hear about none of that. When artists first come out, they're not that far away from their audience. Because, like, they don't have it. They might be famous, but they're not rich.
Right.
You know, that's not the way it works. You know, but once an artist gets rich, it's hard for them to relate to the people that are who are their fans, because it's like, okay, yeah, a bad day for you might be, yeah, I got a flat tire on my Bentley. You know, a bad day for me is like, you know, I went to the doctor and I can't figure out how I'm going to pay this bill. Mm-hmm. You know, you have no concept of what it is to make a decision between keeping your lights on and buying groceries, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, everybody's fan base is broke and trying to figure it out, you know, because, you know, everybody has their ups and downs. But like, you know, when you're an artist, your downs are a lot different than the people.
You're so far gone to what people can resonate with. That's why I respect Jay-Z, regardless of how rich he is. He still makes music that is true to his existence. And it doesn't steer from kind of making you be like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is he talking about? Why is he talking about this?
Fonte's the same way.
Yeah, exactly. That's I was gonna say Fonte too, because
he grew
you have somebody that's on the as far as monetarily rich, very rich standard, and then somebody that's
seems to be more like the common man.
Exactly. Yeah. He resonates with us more personally, but Jay-Z also resonates with me on a level to he's still remaining true to himself, right? Because he's the same individual that put out Reasonable Doubt and pretty much was telling you street stories and telling you pretty much why not to do these types of things, mm-hmm, to graduating to, okay, this is what you should do or try to do in order to get to this level, to, okay, this is my family situation and what I'm going through and now I'm trying to build these bricks in order for my kids to, you know.
Honestly, it sounds crazy. Jay-Z at his richest with 444 was probably the most relatable Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Because he was talking.
Because it was real.
He was talking about, you know, the family, the struggles of, mm-hmm, what did you go through in relationships, you know, how to make sure your kids are okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when you talk about, like, you know, of course, I'm not able to invest on his level. But, you know, when you think about, OK, maybe I shouldn't spend $500 on Xbox. Maybe I should buy $500 in Microsoft stock. You know what I'm saying? Like when you talked about the thing about Dumbo, like that resonates with me in a different way.
Exactly.
If you talk about, you know, flipping bricks and big pimping, I couldn't relate to this then.
But it was
and I can't relate to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money versus purpose. As a creative, what is more important? I think
don't be a whore.
Got to be. I'm
just saying
it's got to be, because it's just got to be the purpose, you know. And the one last thing that I'll
unless
say,
unless money is your purpose,
for sure. And the last thing that I'll say is, like, not everything that you love to do, and I know some people will disagree with this, but not everything that you love and you want to conduct your time with needs to be monetized.
Exactly. I have to tell people that all the time, because once you monetize it, sometimes you lose the love for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're just doing it because you desire to do it without adding anything else, any outside noise to it, you'll excel further than when you start to rely on it for money.
Yeah.
No, I am.
Doesn't mean you don't have to want to make money from it, but it's like.
You don't have to give up your services for free.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if it's something that you love to do, it's not something that you're like, well, I can't pay my bills unless I charge this much.
Yeah.
Now it's not love. It's more so I got to do this to survive.
No.
And once you go into survival mode, that's a whole different organ or situation that
you've lost your purpose. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I remember when I was still in college when I had a job on the radio, and I remember talking to one of my classmates, and they're like, man, I just love music. I would love to be on the radio. And I had to be like, look, if you're going to do radio, you better love radio.
Yeah, straight
because
up.
If you love music, radio will break your heart.
Yeah, it will.
So
once you find out the truth.
Yeah. So you need to have a different mindset. You know, if you want to be in radio, it's the craft of radio is something that you should be in love with.
Yeah.
Being in love with music and then wanting to get into radio, you better find something else to do.
Something else. I literally just had a talk with one of my good friends, and he stated to me that he wants to just do music, but it isn't doing music. So, I mean, we're kind of at the age where if you haven't found your purpose and what you want to do, especially if it's music, because music is something is different now. It's not like you can't get into music expecting any kind of payoff immediately. That's just not going to happen. You pretty much have to have
lose money.
Yeah, you have to have exactly.
Unless your purpose is to sell ass and not actually
right.
make music.
Mm-hmm. But you can't get into the music at this age and expect it to be your livelihood.
Unless you're trying to be like Sugar Free or something, maybe like slash.
He wants to do it for the love of music.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this
better be.
I mean,
better be generational.
And I hate to say there's a time limit or an age where you have to kind of switch over. because, I mean, if we're being real, there is.
Yeah. Right?
Yo, because at one point, the oldest rapper I had seen actually make it was DMX. At one, yeah, because DMX, I think, was like 29 when It's Dark and Hell is Hot had came out. And then, like, it was a long time. And then 2 Chainz, me and 2 Chainz are like the same age.
Well, 2 Chainz had two careers.
Yeah, he did. He had made his inroads into the music industry. But when he really broke, he was like 35 or 36.
So when would you say is a good age if you don't really have any skin or teeth, you know what I'm saying, in the game right now? You may have had some in the past, but you don't have anything leading up to right now.
I think it's
23.
No, I don't. I think we're looking at it. I don't necessarily.
As a musician, though,
I don't think it's an age. I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's just a serious thing. Mm-hmm. Like if he's 44 and he's super serious about it, and he has the world around him where he can spend 16 hours a day on it, mm-hmm. then he may have a shot. But if he can only spend 30 minutes every Wednesday on it, it's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know if age has as much to do with it as what happens
as
we get older. Mm-hmm. Our time is a lot more narrow,
right? Because time freedom is a thing
for sure.
So if you have time freedom in order to nurture that love, then yeah, okay,
but that's
pour into it. But if you don't,
then
because I mean life is coming at us still regardless.
It was when Fat Joe said the whole thing, but like, look, you got to get a job while you're working on your art.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just be laid up with somebody eating, you know,
you
the kids fruit snacks and all that and trying to record. I mean, yeah, you can.
Well, see, but that's acceptable to a certain age.
Yeah,
after a certain age, it's kind of like
if you're 37 trying to do that, it'd be like, really?
Dude, or at least transition to a music teacher and do that.
Be like me. Be a teacher.
Hey.
Be an educator. Do all these other things.
That's ideal, though, because actually what you're doing is an ideal situation for a lot of people.
Look, a lot of people say if you can't do teach, I say if you can't teach, you do.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Look, I had my 16 hours a day when I was in my 20s for like 5 years. I did the Kanye thing. Mm-hmm. I was at making beats 5 days a week. Yes.
For 3 summers.
For like 5. You know, like I did that, you know, so like it's a little bit different. But what I tell all of my students, and you know, what I tell all my students back to your point here is like, you can take my class. It's a 10-month class where music production. I was like, I tell them up front, you are not going to be Kanye West, Jay-Z, you know,
Timberland.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
You're not going to be Monty Booker when you get out of this class. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be that. This is building the framework. So that you can then take it to the next step.
Baby steps.
That's all that I can offer you. Because
shout out to Dr. Leo Marvin.
shouts to Richard Dreyfuss.
What about Bob?
Yep. Yeah. One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you have to approach it like that. And to me, that's more of a purpose thing. It's like you have to understand, like I tell my student, like I have 2 students right now in my Monday night class. They're super cool dudes. And I was like, look, you have to accept the fact that you guys are both trash and you have to live in that. I need you to accept the fact that you're going to be trash for the next 12 months and just work on making yourself better. Because what happens when you try to be a producer or a rapper or whatever, when you're older, is you have this thing in your mind where you're the standard that you want to live up to. So if you try to make beats at 36, but you've had 16 or 20 years of listening to hip hop producers and you know what you want to sound like, and then you sit down and you make a beat,
it's not,
and it sounds like when Cassidy was trying to make beats.
Oh my God.
Well, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to stop. I was like, you have to accept the fact that you're going to be ass.
Yeah.
You have to live in that and just put in the rep and do it. And it's, to me, that's
hard to hear for some people.
It's the purpose. But I feel like people, after I say it a couple times, people laugh, but I'm like, no, you have to, it's a thing. Like, you're coming in this class, you love hip hop, you know all this hip hop stuff, you know all the producers, you're at a disadvantage than my 12-year-old students that are just making beats because they don't know what their sound wants to be like. Like, you have to.
They have no point of reference.
They don't. And so it's like, you're working against your psyche. So I would say it's, to your point, Terry, I think it's harder. A lot harder because there's so many things working against you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's impossible.
Right, it's not impossible.
But you have to be realistic with all of the things that are harder to do when you're older.
Mm-hmm. It's possible if you're only doing it for the love.
Yeah.
That can only be the real reason why you do it. Because if you go into it at a 40 some odd years old, making music with the intention of making money, you're not going to really go very far. Yeah. Now, but if you're making music just because you want to be heard, that's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I think you can finagle yourself a lot easier in that
exactly.
manner.
Exactly.
So, yeah, good conversation.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that... I think that's our time for today, gentlemen. Bring Down the Band is the hub, New Old Heads. You can find us on all social media. Just type in that and something will pop up and it'll be exactly what you're looking for. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and viewing us tonight. And we'll be right back here next Tuesday. On that note, we say please. Peace.